No, Ron's not going to put on makeup. And he went even, he had a couple tennis balls.
Well, yeah, that's what Tim said. He's like, where's his boobs?
So he had a couple of tennis balls, but they wouldn't hold in the shirt. And I said, well, here, put on a bra.
You got to wear a bra.
He said, I am not putting on a bra.
Oh, Ron, you got to commit to the bit, dude. Put the bra on. Be a man. Wear your bra.
What happens when you combine a design-loving, big-city-living, black-clothes-wearing art history major with a culinary-teaching, small-town-living, pink toenail painting, home ec major? We'll stir in two husbands, six grown kids, pop it in the oven for 40-plus years of friendship and foolishness, and you get a big old batch of designer cornbread.
Finally, the streak is over.
We just had to start right off.
Listen, and I'm just going to jump in. What are we at? Welcome to 160.
Yes, that is correct.
Let me just say, Arkansas was nasty.
Boo.
They were nasty. The coach was nasty. The players were that nasty. And the number of penalties that they had, I'm just going to say, that's a leadership problem.
Well, look who's coaching him right now.
Well, and that's what I mean.
Bobby Paterno. I mean, yeah. he looked like,
yeah.
I don't even know how to, is it Bobby Paterno? I think that's his name.
Yes, that's right.
And he's the interim because they fired Sam Pittman, who I love Sam Pittman. I don't think the culture problem was his.
No, it's this dude. And he even got unsportsmanlike.
He got a penalty. One of the 13 or 15 penalties they got in the second half was by the coach.
Oh, guys, here's what we're saying. Mississippi State played Arkansas this weekend, and we won, finally.
You guys.
After two long years of not winning an SEC game, we won. But
the saran wrap is off.
It's off.
Of the...
So here's the thing. I mean, I come in and I really, you know, we won three games that were not SEC games. And we came into the SEC. Was it four? Yeah,
we were 4-0. Right. And then we had a three game.
And then I didn't expect us to beat Tennessee, but we tied them. And I've said all these, on all these episodes, mm-hmm. how impressed I was with how we played.
Oh, yeah.
And that was, I didn't expect us to play Tennessee. I mean, to beat Tennessee, but we tied them. Florida, we should have won.
I expected them to win Florida.
That was just a bad call.
Yeah. I mean, I say expected, but I fully felt like they should win that.
Texas, I mean, we knew we weren't going to beat Texas A&M. That's just powerhouse.
Right.
But Texas, I didn't know, but we tied Texas. Uh-huh. And so, and one of the comments.
Well, technically, they tied us.
They tied us, yes.
Okay.
We just lost it.
Fell apart.
But, you know, and one of the commentators even said, they said, you know, this could easily have been a 7-1 team. And I'm like, yeah, yes, it could have. Mm-hmm. Yes, easily. But Arkansas, I kind of went, yeah, we could beat Arkansas. I think we can beat Arkansas. But I was not impressed with how we played. You know?
No, it was a weird, but here's the thing about playing in Fayetteville is always chaos.
Yes.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
It's always, they play crazy. I don't know why, but it just seems like anytime Mississippi State plays them, particularly in Fayetteville, it just turns into a whole situation. So I didn't know what to expect, but I didn't expect.
But you know what? We won.
We won. You lost. Okay, sorry. But and also, you didn't even feel bad that Arkansas lost, unless you're an Arkansas fan. And then I understand
Yo, they played nasty. I mean,
they were throwing players like they got so many penalties for personal for unnecessary roughness after the play. That one where he took the guy and just threw, I think that was Booth.
Flipped him over,
and just flipped him. It was like we were in the WWE.
Yeah, yeah.
And then their coach gets a penalty. Like, that, you're not wrong. I'm like.
Yeah, they set the record in penalties.
They did, y'all.
Yeah.
And so they really did deserve to lose. So I would have been, I don't know what I would have done if State hadn't won after all that. Yeah. The other games, the other teams, you know, played well, caught up or, you know, kept in there. But this, if Arkansas had won after that slugfest.
Yeah, I'd have been mad.
I don't know. I don't know what I would have done. Chained myself to something. I don't know what.
And I think Arkansas's quarterback is a stellar guy.
He is. Well, he seemed to be. Yeah. He did seem to be.
So, and I didn't have any problems with the way he played, but the rest of the team, it just was, I did. And I just kept looking at Ron and going, this is leadership. This is the leadership problem right here.
It almost always is.
Yeah.
It almost always is. When you let your players get away with that kind of thing and that kind of playing. But to the credit, the refs called it. The refs weren't having it. So, I mean, you know, I'm sure Arkansas people may think different, but the refs were not having it. I think they even got a targeting, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I think someone got a targeting,
They got one targeting for sure.
I think just one.
I think they were just looking at one and thinking.
Yeah, I think so. And it was not. But, you know, anyway, and targeting can be a weird thing. Like, I go back and forth on, you know, that's a little bit iffy. But these other ones were just crazy. And you're right. State was not. It was real interesting because I almost felt better about, in a sense, when they started off. Because all these other games, these last three that we've lost, we've come out, scored on our first possession, you know, come out. The first quarter has been, we've dominated the first and second quarter.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
And we've played well the third. It's the fourth quarter that
so in this game, they didn't do that. They didn't come out. Arkansas came out stronger. We had a really kind of a mediocre kind of slow. We had a slower start.
Yes.
I thought, well, maybe that's okay. I mean, I don't like to see it, but
my thought was like, well, maybe this will flip and then we'll have a strong fourth quarter.
That's what I thought. I thought, well, maybe since we're having a rougher start at the beginning, maybe that's a flip to this pattern because the last three games have been the same pattern of just, you know, coming out so great and then not falling apart, but not able to sustain that. So this was reversed and then helped, of course, by Arkansas getting 50,000 yards in penalties on them. But I did hear that Shapen, the starting quarterback, gave his game ball to the freshman quarterback. What's his name? Taylor?
Hey, Taylor. Taylor's is his last name. But
and he's a true freshman, and he came in because they had a little medical thing they needed to pull Blake out. Blake.
And he played well.
He came out and he ran because we weren't able to run the ball. We weren't able to get the running game going for quite a while. And that was what was giving us trouble. Even though Fluff was back, that's another thing too. Fluff was back.
Yeah.
It was his first game back. So we had three games without Fluff. I think three or four, two. Now I'm confused. Yeah, two. Because he got hurt at A&M's game.
Yeah.
And then we had two without him. So he was back. But it was interesting. So the freshman quarterback came in and he started off and he got two touchdowns while he was in.
Yeah.
So I'm not mad about it at all. I'm so happy for Coach Lebby. Did you see the videos of the band?
I did.
Watching.
Yeah. Yes, I did.
They were so excited. It was so cute. Then,
they were too busy cheering to get their instruments up.
And finally, they're like, don't.
It clicked in. Oh, I got to play.
And there was one girl though in the video. Did you see her in the back? Who like had no emotion at all. She's on the back row, this young lady. And all the dudes are like going crazy because they showed a picture of the band, the Mississippi State band that was there, the little travel band or whatever, when they won. And, you know, they're all like anticipating and looking and getting excited. And then the time runs out or whatever, and they all going crazy. I promise you, this one girl is just in the back
she just has no, registers no emotion at all. And then it's time
to
play.
She's just a band kid. Yeah, she's just a band kid.
I'm so funny. She's like, I don't even like football. Right. I don't know why I'm here. I'm on scholarship.
I had to go back and look at that.
It's so noticeable. I'm like, honey, yeah. Like no emotion at all. Like she didn't care. It's really pretty funny, but you know, that's okay. So yeah, suffice it to say, we had a great Saturday.
We did have a great Saturday. Yeah.
Finally.
Woo, my heart was pounding.
I know. And you just never know till the bitter end. And it started to, you know, come together. But even in that last few plays, I was like, and then I got real nervous because I thought they were going to call something on, I think it was the very last play when one of our players tackled their quarterback. And I thought they were going to call.
Yeah.
Roughing. Yeah. I don't know what I thought they were going to call because he stayed
down. And I kept looking at it going, he didn't do anything wrong.
I know, but it made me nervous because they stopped that, you know, he was laying flat out. Yeah. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah. I think he was just upset because he knew it was done. I don't think
he looked he might've been a little shook up, but you know.
But the hit wasn't that hard. I mean, that's why I kept going back and looking. It just wasn't
A little bit because he kept running. I mean, he was running. He didn't go to a slide. So if you're going to run, and you got the ball, you know, you're going to get hit like a big boy.
Yeah.
You can quote me on that, people. If you're going to run.
You're going to run.
You're going to get hit like a big boy. Anyway, I don't even know whatever else happened in the rest of the football. I think Vandy, I watched that. What happened in that first? That was the only other game I watched was Vandy played.
I didn't watch any. I just watched the Mississippi State game.
Wow, it's so memorable. I think they won. Oh, I don't even, I have no idea. I don't even know what was happening. I'm telling you guys, I blocked it all out. I'm like, Tennessee played somebody at night. I don't know. I think they probably would have gotten the spicy uniform.
They played Oklahoma, but they lost.
They did. They did, which is a bummer. Because they were at home and they had good uniforms. They had the dark black, you know, the black with the bright orange letters, and you know. But, you know, I did hear finally another coach has fallen. Auburn has gotten rid of Hugh Freeze. So we have another
coach down.
Coach down. You guys, SEC coaches are dropping like flies.
I'm telling you, SEC don't play. They don't play.
No.
They're starting in some games.
No, they're like, we expect to win. Yeah. Did you see that meme I sent you of that cartoon of that bull? That military bull yelling like he was like he was Coach O. I sent it to
you. Oh, yes. Yeah, I did.
And it was like Coach O wants
his job back. Yeah.
It just made me giggle, you guys. It's really of no consequence. But So, but you had all the other things to do that weekend. You had a big weekend.
I did. So they had a big Halloween thing downtown.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It did. Well, they did a trick-or-treat street is what they did.
Y'all, Savannah does every holiday in that little downtown.
Yeah, they did. So, listen, I had no idea. Usually my street is pretty full. Traditionally, it has been for years. Everybody trick-or-treats on College Street.
It's cute.
But this year, it was really just kind of nonstop.
Oh, was it? Really?
And our friend Paige was having a Halloween party that we were supposed to be to. And so we, you know, we sat out on the porch for a while and doing the.
Oh, she had it on Halloween.
Yes, she had it.
Oh, that's a risk.
She has a building downtown.
Oh, she had it right there. Okay.
Right. So it is right. You know, it's just right there.
Oh, I thought y'all had to go all the way out to Burnt Church for.
No.
I was like,
and so Ron said, should we walk? And I had like a couple things that I made. He said, we're just going to walk up there. And I said, I don't know. I got to carry all this stuff.
I wish you guys had.
And I said, oh, no. I said, yeah, let's walk because we can put it in the wagon if we need to.
Yes.
And anyway, but we couldn't get a break to shut down like our trick-or-treaters.
Oh, that's when you just leave the bucket outside and you just say, take one.
Hey, here it is. No, we finally, there was a break. Like we were about probably 30 minutes late.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, just shut out the lights, turn out the lights. And so we walked up there. And I was, when we got midway up the hill to town, I decided I was very thankful that we walked. There were people everywhere.
Driving would have been, and parking and driving would have been tough.
Yeah. They went trick-or-treating at the businesses downtown. And then there was a big thing down at the farmer's market right there. And so kids were lined up. I mean, they were, there was a line. They were probably lined up all the way down the street.
Oh, my word.
And down Main Street. So it was crazy. But we got to Paige's, and Ron and I dressed as Sonny and Cher, with Ron being Cher.
Of course.
Because Cher was taller
than Sonny. Yeah, she's tall. So what are you going to do?
That's right. So I had my mustache.
I wish someone took a picture or video of you guys walking, pulling that wagon through town as Sonny and Cher. I would pay someone, please, if you have that, Savannah people, please send it to us, because I need that.
Listen, the younger people were looking at us like, what the crap?
Yeah, they had no idea.
The older people, I mean, as soon as they saw us, they burst out laughing.
Oh, that's so funny.
They knew. So.
Yeah, it's very generational, I have to say. Yeah. The younger kids are probably like, are you Napoleon Dynamite? Are you?
Yeah. So Ron had that long black hair, long black wig, and he had on the, little flowery flared pantsuit.
A whole jump pantsuit, y'all. Yes. And I got to tell you something. And I don't think this is going to hurt Ron's feelings, to be honest, at all. He makes one ugly woman. was not. His face cannot pass at all. He didn't put on any makeup or anything, though.
No, he didn't. No, Ron's not going to put on makeup. And he wouldn't even. He had a couple of tennis balls.
Well, yeah, that's what Tim said. He's like, where's his boobs?
So he had a couple of tennis balls, but they wouldn't hold in the shirt. And I said, well, here, put on a bra.
You got to wear a bra.
He said, I am not putting on a bra.
Oh, Ron, you got to commit to the bit, dude. Put the bra on. Be a man.
I think it would have been hilarious to have green fuzzy cleavage right there.
Oh, no, I don't. But he was not attractive. I'm just going to say, and I don't think he's going to be offended by that. That's when I think he will be.
No, he is. There's not a feminine piece of his
face. It just didn't. He looked like a man hippie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially just from the waist, like the pictures you sent when you don't see the whole outfit. He just looked like maybe he was trying to be a Native American.
Now from the back, he looked pretty good.
Gosh. Okay. I don't even want to know anymore. And you looked real cute. That wig you had, that was a shiny wig. Man, that was some shine on that. And she had a mustache.
I did. It was that, it wasn't the coconut cut, but it was still, that blunt.
Shaggy blunt.
And then it flipped up.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Flip up in the back, the long flip up. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Tell me you guys sang. Tell me that Ron flipped his hair a lot. And
he tried. Yeah, there wasn't karaoke or anything. Yeah, he would try to sing like Cher a couple of times,
Okay. Well, so that's good. Yeah. What did other people dress up as?
There was Santa Claus and an elf.
Hmm.
There was, Frida was Morticia. and Ron was her husband, Ron, not my Ron. Her husband, Ron, was, what's his face?
Gomez.
Gomez.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Gomez.
And, that's good. And Paige just had this black veily thing, and David was like a knight, or a king. Mm-hmm. Trying to think, I can't remember what everybody was, but there were angels.
Oh.
And I can't remember.
Well, that's a good assortment. Santa and angels and Sonny and Cher and Morticia. I mean, you covered the bases.
You made a good Morticia too. Yeah.
Yeah. That's true. And isn't Gomez a little short now? I guess not. Not in the Addams Family. He's not shorter.
I think he is.
Is he a little bit?
Yeah.
I always think of Morticia as being kind of tall, but maybe I'm thinking of, who I'm thinking of? I'm thinking of the cartoon.
Yeah.
You know who I mean?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Oh, you guys, what's it? It was Hanna and Barbera.
Yeah.
And they had a spooky family. They had a lady and a little short dude, and I don't remember their names. And they had Captain Caveman, and
yeah. I loved Captain Caveman.
Oh my gosh, you guys, Hannah Barbera,
Caveman.
Cartoons were just
Saturday
foolish.
Morning, eating my cookie, Chris.
Oh my gosh,
watching Captain Caveman,
right? Just shoveling that dye and sugar right up in us,
right.
And watching
yeah.
our show on our polyester shag yeah. carpets.
Yes,
amazing. And now we're like, that's not good, you guys. We need to talk about. Well, Tim at work, because the Friday was Halloween, so he showed up to work, and one of his coworkers dressed up like him for Halloween.
That is fantastic. Oh, please send me a picture.
It wasn't a blue polo. But it was a blue.
Oh, well, I may not be on board with that then.
I know. It was a blue. I think it was a blue button down, khaki yeah. pants. And he even made a fake. He took his badge, his Parsons badge, and he took a picture of Tim and stuck his face on it.
That's
and
so
wore
great.
Tim's badge. And the kids were like, did he have Keens on? And Dad was like, Tim was like, no, he didn't. He didn't fully do it.
He needed to embrace it.
What?
Caleb's going to have to get a pair of Keens now.
Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%. He could probably get away with just some kind of brown hikey boot shoes, though, for now, really any kind that he probably has. So, yeah, Caleb can dress up like him for Halloween. But yeah, I thought that was, I said, Tim, that's the highest, that's like bucket list to have someone dress up as you for Halloween.
Right. Yeah.
Like, no one would be able to do that for me or because I just wear different stuff. Whereas he just, he has that look that, that blue. And he was so mad that his coworker was like, oh man, because Tim didn't wear, he wore a maroon shirt that day to work. So he didn't even have a blue shirt on.
What? Why break protocol there?
Well, he's branching out, honey. He's branching out. You know?
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
I know, but he's trying. He's trying a little cut. He does look good in them. And when it's football weekends, you know, I make him wear, no, I try to make him wear maroon. His maroon. I do try. So, so that Ooh, was... That was the only, otherwise we didn't do anything.
Well, so Saturday I was watching the game and John Garrett called me and he said, hey, what are y'all doing this weekend? I said, well, right now I'm just watching football. And he said, no, Ashley wants to know if she can come up and spend the night.
Oh. So,
Ashlyn is John Garrett's girlfriend. She goes to college about 45 minutes away from here.
She just wanted a little break.
We asked her, you know, we were just making sure nothing was wrong, you right. know. And she said, no, I was just kind of bored, and I just kind of wanted to, you know, come home.
Oh.
I said, oh.
You did. I know you did. And I know you're like, oh, my gosh, get everything ready.
Yeah.
Well, who wouldn't want to come and, you know, sit on a porch? And
me. I know. Well, what we did is upstairs, we put up the trees in the boys' rooms.
Oh, great.
So I said, nobody's... You know, I mean, nobody's up here, so I don't have to worry about it being Christmas too early, but I get it done and out of the way.
So you had a little helper. You had a girl helper.
I did.
Welcome.
And it was
welcome. It's a happy
so much easier.
It's a great situation. Oh, man. That is awesome. The other thing this weekend, too, we had it, you know, it's Halloween and all that, and it was All Saints Day, and we had at our church, they had a special like service. It was just noted really as All Saints Sunday. And they, just took some time and they listed all the members that had passed away this year. And they actually, at the end they did, this is a newer church to us. So we hadn't been here at this time before. And, they had candles unlit at the front and at the end, they read the names and then any family members were there, went up, lit a candle and they rang, tolled the bell. I mean, they did a whole,
that's awesome.
It was probably a good 20 minute, you know, of each name and waited for the people to come. So it was really well done. I like a good, you know, we get so rushed at things and it was just like a contemplative time of, you know, here's all these names and we're going to take the time on this Sunday to take a few minutes. It's kind of like when people talk about, you know, the phrase you hear all the time now, hold space for people, hold space for something. And at first that phrase sort of sounds like weird because it's used so much, like in kind of like, I don't know, it can be used in a way that like grates on my nerves. But but also it's a thing. Like, and when I try to define, like, what does that mean when you, you know, you hold space for someone, and like you think of your kids and if they're having trouble, excuse me, still struggling with the cough.
Mine is about over. So you're
God, Lord. Toward the end. It's just, it just pops up every once in a while. Anyway. But you know, like if your kid's having a problem or something's going on or a friend or whatever, and they're talking to you about it and they're telling you about it. It's just more to me that idea of we used to, I'm trying to think like how else you say it, but it's just like you're being present with them. It's just about being present. That's to me what, it's being present and being in that emotion with them. That's what hold space really means in the good way. I don't people, some people use it kind of weird, but for the most part, that's what it means. So your kid's hurt or something's happening and it's just part of life, you know, they didn't make the team or, you know, something like that. And they're sad and they're disappointed and they're hurt and they're, you know, and as parents, a lot of times we do want to like, well, you know, give them the pep talk and, you know, tell them all the truth about, but God, and you're so valuable and the Lord loves you and all that's true. But there's a time for what's that holding space. Just be present with them in the emotion of this sucks. And this is hard. And this is sad.
Well, for me, November, I think is really my favorite month of the year. And it's why I don't like to push Christmas.
Same.
Because, you know, here's all of fall, and especially teaching high school or having kids growing up, there is so much activity between August and the end of October. I mean, it's football games. It's this. It's that. It's go, 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 go. And then all of a sudden, November comes. The time changes. It gets darker earlier, and it just seems to slow things down. Our high school football games are done. I mean, we're done with the season. So that's done. And it's just quieter. You know, I mean, Halloween, it's a lot of festivity. Christmas, it's a lot of festivity. But here in the middle of those is a quiet time. And it's a time to be very reflective and, you know, look at how... And look at the goodness of God. You know, just even in the small things, things that we're not, you know, always thankful for, that, you know, we can be reflective and be thankful for that without all of the...
With no fluff or hype. I mean, I know Thanksgiving is a thing and people do different, but that's exactly, that's exactly how I really have been feeling so far this month. We're 3 days in. And that on Sunday was so... it was beautiful.
And that's such a good kickoff to the month to just reflect back on those people who have invested in you, put those good deposits of Jesus in you, and to think back on those saints. And I just think that's just such an outstanding kickoff. To November.
It really, that's how I felt. Like I said, we hadn't been to that service at this church before, so we didn't really know what was happening, but it was just nice. Cause again, it was a good 15, you know, 20 minutes or whatever of, and the bell, and it did, it just gave me time to sit there. I know where to go, know where I needed to be, nothing I needed to do in this beautiful sanctuary. The bell is tolling. You know, and I did this, that's what I did. I just kind of went through and I started back with both sets of my grandparents. And cause it's all the saints that have gone before, you know, and remembering them and everyone, my great aunts and uncles and just all my family that had kind of gone on and, you know, same then down with Tim's family and Hino and Jane and Roger VB and just all the, just many people that, you know, as just honoring these saints that have gone before. And then of course we ended, you know, and this church has a fantabulous organ. So it just blows your brains out. And the last hymn was, For All the Saints Who From Their Labors Rest. Boom. I mean, they dropped the beat on that thing with the organ. It was a lot. It was really good. And I'm not gonna lie. If you can drop a beat on an organ, which I think you can. You can on this one.
Yeah, it is. It's, and you know, and all those things have a play. You know, Christmas, I love the Christmas season. I love all the lights and the hoopla and the happiness and the joy. And but I do enjoy just the quiet reflection.
And that's
November.
And that's what it's so great, because we have this in November that kind of then leads up to this little culmination at Thanksgiving. And then you go right into Advent, and there you are again. You know what I mean? It's like,
you know, and that's one reason I love, we've talked about the train at Silver Dollar City. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why, I mean, I'm not the only one that loves it. That line is the longest line in the entire park. Mm-hmm. And I think because so much of it, I mean, you go back there and all of a sudden it gets quiet and it gets dark and they're telling you the birth of Jesus. Yeah. And all the hoopla is up the hill. I mean, it's gone. It's out of sight. And I think we crave that so much. Yes. You know,
we do. We crave that stillness, that slowness, that quietness, you know.
That oh holy night.
That drama. Like, that's the thing that's always, to me, has been just a very interesting or important part of my faith walk through my whole life, is just the mystery, right? Yeah. The mystery, you know, that mysterious, we do crave that. Like, as humans, we're like, you know, people go and take that into a lot of different ways that are not truth, right? Cause we crave this secret knowledge and this, you know, you know, mystery and kind of all that mysterious and mystical thing. And that is God. That is Christianity above anything else. It is that mysterious holiness of the night of Jesus' birth. And we're getting ahead of us here, but I mean, there's nothing like it. Like, it don't get much more mysterious than that.
No. And there is something I love. I just go outside by myself on Christmas Eve. I don't know what it is, but I've always just found that stillness and that peace just for even a few minutes. I mean, there may be a million things going on inside, but outside there's a calmness and a peacefulness.
And a Christmas. Cold, like if the air is cold and crisp and everything's pretty quiet because traffic, I mean, you may not notice a huge difference, but like in town, There's not a lot of traffic. The traffic goes down that night. So you kind of have a quieter, and then if for any reason on top of that, there's been snow, oh, it's real quiet. It's awesome. Yeah. So I'm super excited. I'm like you. I'm like just embracing this November and the, as we go into the darkness and the leaves are falling and the things are getting, you know, we do turn inward. That's the natural cycle of our seasons, of our year, as we turn inward to home, inward to maybe our own hearts and our own selves and our own relationships with God and with others. And I don't know, it's just a good little rhythm. I'm not mad about it. Now, come February, I need to get to sunshine and a beach immediately.
I'm ready for it. Yeah. But winter, all these seasons serve their purpose. You know?
That's a good way to put it. They all serve their purpose. That's for sure. So leading on that, I was thinking, are you team pumpkin pie or team pecan pie?
I'm not really a pie lover.
I know. You know what? I'm not eating.
I'm not, pumpkin pie is just not I think that's more of a textury.
Yeah, I'm team pecan pie. If I have to pick, I'm pecan pie.
Yeah, but pecan pie to me is just too sweet.
It's real sweet.
No, it's just not. So I'm not a. Now, if you ask me if I'm a pumpkin cheesecake fan,
okay,
I can be on board with that one.
Okay.
But I'm just, you know, sweets are not a big draw for me.
Well, and at Thanksgiving, they're never, like, I cannot remember. I remember, maybe that's part of my, I'm not a big pumpkin pie It's not my favorite. Like if I had to pick, yeah. And usually we've done some pecan pies at like if you have a bunch of people like in Rolla and stuff, we do a bunch of different pies. There'll be some pecan and some this and all that. But we would do often pecan pies at Christmas growing up. But I remember being at my grandparents over in Kansas City. We went over there every year for Thanksgiving. And, you know, the thing is, by the time you're done with Thanksgiving, I don't want anything. And then my little grandma would come up and with this pumpkin pie. And it usually wasn't like a homemade, my mom would sometimes, but it was just kind of like, you know, Mrs. Smith's kind of pumpkin pie.
Right.
Everything else was homemade. The rest of the whole meal was like gourmet. We all pitched in, but there'd be this pie because nobody really, you know, and I would like, I did like it when there was a lot of whipped cream because I would just kind of eat the whipped cream. But I remember getting served and you're being served by your grandma and you can't.
Yeah.
You know,
yes,
you can't say no. And you're just like, but I remember looking at that burnt orange triangle on my plate, just being like, I don't know. Yeah. Can we?
And it's such a heavy carb meal. I mean,
you're already in a coma.
Yes. Yeah.
And then your sweet grandma Helen brings out this, this piece of pie. And I'm like, I don't have any room. But yeah, but if I had to pick, just like pie-wise and flavor-wise, I'd be pecan every time. Yeah.
And yet I love the pumpkin flavor, all the pumpkin spice.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a way overdone now, but I do enjoy a pumpkin spice latte. Yeah,
I do too, but it just something about that pie. It's just too, like you said, it's kind of mushy. Yeah. It's just a mushy puree.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sure there's really good. In fact, I've had some really good ones. So I'm not saying every once in a while I could be in the mood for that if it was just by itself, you know, if we went somewhere and they just had a really good, you know, but I'm not gonna, I do like making or buying. I've done both at Thanksgiving. More often than not now I'll do the mini pies. I like me a little mini pie. That's cute. You know?
I would rather, and as far as cakes go, I'd like to have, just give me a pedophore instead of a big piece of cake. There's just something about
a whole little tray or like a tiered stand with plates, and it just has all these little pies, you know, and you can do little, you can just buy them at places, you know, but they have mini pumpkin and mini pecan, and you could do mini apple, and, you know, you just have a whole little thing, a little mini pies that maybe some are kind of bigger, you know, there's some mini pies that are, I don't know, more like a cupcake size, kind of a bigger, and then there's actual like kind of little bite size ones. So like that I can get behind after we've like left the table and, you know, we have coffee later or something like that. But yep.
The best pie that I've had was in Rolla.
Oh.
And it was that Boston cream pie from
Slice of Pie.
A slice of pie.
That was, I'll tell you what. This is starting off sad, but the year that we had both Tim's brother and his dad both passed away. And within 6 months, 5 months, May, June, July, August, seven, 5 months. Anyway, so we had two funerals to do in Rolla. So everyone was just tired of us. But anyway, we were tired of everyone. But the sweet neighbor down the street from where Susan and Gary lived, and I can't remember their names, but they owned the little shop and little, not really a restaurant, but I think you could eat in there, Slice of Pie in Rolla. And it's famous. I think it's definitely, they sold it, so they don't have it anymore. And I don't know if it's still open or if it's closed or if it's open and just like still a little bit different. I think it's still there. But anyway, Slice of Pie. It's been written up in magazines. Anyway, it was so good. They were neighbors. And so after Patrick died, you know, everyone's just trying to figure out what to do and what they can do and bless. And the sweet neighbor would just come by, and the garage door is always pretty much always open. People coming and going into their attached garage at my in-laws. And there's a big chest freezer. And she'd just come over and just put pies in it. She would just put pies. Wow. Okay. And just put pies. And then she did call at one point, you know, someone. I don't know that she called Susan, you know, because you kind of call someone that's, you don't want everyone. Anyway, I know, what kind of pies do y'all want for this week? You've got family, you know, what kind of pies? And we all told her. I, of course, wanted, the Boston cream was on there. I, of course, always want the coconut cream.
Yeah.
That coconut cream pie. That's what I always wanted at Thanksgiving. Anytime she would get a lot of pies from Slice of Pie for our things. And I always was like, I'll have a coconut cream or the Boston cream.
Yeah.
So
and they're good. Yeah.
All that is to say, between two family funerals, we had a lot of pie and she kept bringing pies for just, and it was so precious and so sweet. And we just had pies for days. So,
no, we made a bunch of pies for the Wednesday night meal last week. And I don't know why pies are so difficult, but every time that I have my classes make pies, they screw them up.
Oh, really? Because I don't think pies are that hard.
They shouldn't be.
No.
So I don't know. I think they're afraid, like, especially like custardy pies, I think they're afraid of cooking them too long.
Oh, okay.
Or they don't put enough thickener in. Hmm. I don't know. It's okay. Just pies are very, have been very difficult with them. And it's been since I've been there. Just traditionally, they struggle with pies.
Okay, that's interesting. Okay, I mean, I know sometimes most people get hung up on the crust. And really, yeah, crusts aren't even that hard, to be honest. But they're work. They're a little bit of trouble. So it is easier just to, you know.
Buy one.
But yeah, it is. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. I made a pie, I think the last two Christmases. Do you like eggnog? I know you like boiled custard, but do you like eggnog?
Like boiled custard. I like some eggnog. Some, okay. It has to be made right.
Well, I came across a recipe, and I think the past two Christmases I made it, because it was a big hit. The first was eggnog pie, and that's good.
Yeah.
It's a refrigerator pie, pudding, eggnog. You got your whipped cream, your crut, and it's just enough of that eggnog taste.
I have a recipe for eggnog muffins.
Oh.
They are outstanding. Yeah.
Well, you need to put that down for
one of my recipes.
Early December recipe. But yeah, the eggnog pie was a big hit. And then you just dust the nutmeg on the top. And it's just, it tastes eggnoggy, but it's also a dessert. So sometimes eggnog, people don't like the thick. I don't always love it, you know, because it's like a thick drink. But when it's a pie, I'm like,
the coating. It's a throat coating.
It's a throat coating. And I'm like, but as a pie, I'm like, this I can get behind. So I don't know why. This is the pie episode. Welcome to Designer Cornbread, where we talk about pies. Anyway. Okay. Well, as long as we're going into food, I don't have anything else. So are you ready for your recipe, or did you have anything else to share with the people?
I don't. There's been a lot that's happened, but...
Well, you can tell us what you want.
I can't share any of
it. Oh, that's for the after party. That's on Patreon if we ever get it.
Of students. So, it's been a week.
Oh, boy.
I'm looking this up because I have already posted it.
Oh, my goodness, you guys.
This is what we are... I've got to pull up my Google Drive. This is what we're making for dessert for Wednesday night.
Oh.
And they have apple pie sandwich cookies.
Oh.
Okay. So what it is, you're going to make your apple cookie. Then it has a filling almost like a whoopie pie.
Oh, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. You got your cookie and then you have your filling and then you drizzle caramel sauce over it and then top it with a cookie.
And then you put a cookie, make a little sandwich. Ooh.
A little sandwich. Okay. So here are your ingredients, and there's two parts of this. So this is actually for the cookies, and you need 3/4 cup of unsalted butter. Get it softened. A cup of granulated sugar, 1/2 cup of firmly packed brown sugar, 2 large eggs, 2 teaspoons of vanilla, 2.5 cups of all-purpose flour, 2 cups of old-fashioned oats, 2 teaspoons of apple pie spice, a teaspoon of salt, 3/4 teaspoon of baking powder, 3/4 cup of baking soda, 1.5 cups of diced Granny Smith apples, and 2/3 cup of caramel sauce.
Oh my gosh.
And then your creamy spice filling, which I'll give you in just a second.
Tell me before you go, what is apple spice?
Apple pie spice?
Apple pie spice. I don't think I've seen that.
Just got it's already mixed up for you. So it's going to have those like nutmeg and cloves and cinnamon already. It's already kind of
it's kind of like the pumpkin. Yeah. It's really probably not a lot different.
It's not a lot different.
Okay. No, I don't think I knew there was an apple
pie spice.
It probably
doesn't have as many cloves in it.
Okay.
And it doesn't have ginger in it.
Yeah, no ginger. Yeah, that's probably it. Because I'm like, what is it that makes the pumpkin pie taste? Yeah. And it is that ginger.
Cloves. It has strong cloves and ginger in it. Okay, so you're going to preheat your oven. Go ahead to 350 degrees and line baking sheets with parchment paper. And then beat your butter, sugar, brown sugar together just at medium speed until it's creamy and fluffy. And then add your eggs in one at a time. Beat well after each addition and then beat in your vanilla. In a separate bowl, stir together your flour, your oats, your apple pie spice, salt, baking powder, and baking soda, you know, all your dry ingredients there. And then add your flour mixture to your butter mixture, you know, just slowly add it in and beat that at low speed just until combined. You don't want to overmix that.
Okay.
And then add in your apples. You can fold them in, stir them in, beat them in, however you want to do that. And then use about a 1.5-inch scoop, you know, the little, I call them ice cream scoops.
Yeah, the cookie scooper.
Scoops. And use that. Scoop your dough. Place them about 2 inches apart on your parchment lined pan and then bake for 12 to 14 minutes. You want to make sure that the edges are starting to kind of turn golden brown there. Mm-hmm. Let cool on the pans for 5 minutes.
Oh.
And then you're going to take them and cool them on the wire racks after that. So then you are going to take your cookie and, like I said, you can either spread it or pipe the spiced filling. I'm going to get to that in a minute. On that flat half of the cookie, drizzle with caramel, and then place the remaining cookie on the top. Cover them, keep them refrigerated until the filling's set. And you can refrigerate them for about 3 days. Just make sure it's an airtight container.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah, that's a good make ahead. And that sounds great for like, again, all this is great for any of the holidays, but Thanksgiving, and especially if you maybe have kids.
Yes.
Or you want to do like a little dessert bar, which is always fun. Or like do those and then have some cider.
Yeah. Oh, that is a good.
Dad used to have a little cider bar with those whoopie put pie, apple.
That's a good fire pit thing,
that
too.
That is good. That'd be real cute. Oh.
Grab your cider and your cookie on the way out.
That's adorable. Yeah. I'll be right down.
Okay. All right. So here's your creamy spiced filling. You need 1.5 cups of unsalted butter, softened again, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1/4 teaspoon of your apple pie spice, 6 cups of powdered sugar, and 1/4 cup of whipping cream. That's a lot of powdered sugar, but you want this to be kind of stiff.
It's got to be like a cookie filling, like Oreo, like stiff. Yeah. Otherwise, it'll just mush everywhere.
Yep. Yep. So beat your butter at medium speed, get it good and creamy, and then add your salt and apple pie spice to that and get it combined. And then you're going to add your powdered sugar 1.5 cups at a time.
Okay.
And then, but alternate it with 1 tablespoon of cream.
Okay.
So until you get it all used up.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. Otherwise, it gets too dry. And if you do it all at once, you got to, divide it up a little.
So tomorrow when we're making these, I am going to have them make the spiced filling first. And we're just going to cover it and put it in the refrigerator. And then we'll come back and pipe it on the cookies.
Mm. Oh, yeah. That's good.
I don't want to refrigerate it too long because I don't want it to get hard.
Mm-hmm.
But I do want it to get a little stiff so that it's not, you know, too mushy when they're making.
Yeah. Okay. And then that's right. You can just pipe it in there. Oh, that's a good idea. Okay.
That's the recipe.
That sounds amazing. Now, what are you guys going to? Oh, those are for church. That's for church.
Right.
Man, they're good. They eat so good at that church.
They do.
I swear. I mean, how big do these end up being? Like
a regular size cookie. They're just.
Okay.
You know, I mean, really, you only need one. It's not like a mini cookie, but it's. You know, it's a sandwich cookie, so you're...
Right. I was wondering if you could make them like more of a bite size.
You could.
You just have to cut that dough down, you know, just sort of play with, and then make them just these cute little, more of a bite size, you know, one or two bites. That would be cute too. So, okay. Well, take a picture of them. tomorrow.
I did take a picture. What did I do? What was my recipe last week?
I did.
Oh, the pumpkin.
A cheese ball.
And yep. I did take a picture. I've got to post that.
Okay, good. Good, good, good. But yeah, take a picture of these little apple things. That sounds really good. That's a different kind of recipe. I like that. Good job, well,
Joni. I'm struggling with what dessert to feed them, you know, because, I mean, frankly, we've gone through October and now we're doing November. In September, I've already done a lot of apple stuff, done pumpkin stuff. I've done, you know.
Yeah, you've done all your big. Yeah, that's true. It gets a little bit tricky.
When you're doing it week after week. So. Yeah.
Well, you know, just a standard cookie bar and good chocolate chip cookies or something. Yeah, I don't know. Good luck with that.
Thanks.
Okay. Excuse me. Is it time? I think it is time for my top three.
Top three.
Okay. The first thing on my top three is a little personal fan that Tim got me a while ago. And it's just a little handheld and it recharges. You've probably seen them. It's got a little circular. It's not like a, I don't know, it looks like a little tube on a thing. And it's just a little fan and you can crank that sucker up. He got it for me when I was still having the flashes. You know, he was such a good husband. He was like, look what I got for you. I'm like, actually, that's really nice. Now, it clicks up to like vortex level. It's kind of loud. It's not super quiet, but man, that thing has several settings.
Pumps out some air, huh?
It puts out some air. But little, because it's got a little opening. So it's not, it's kind of like you got to move it around. Like you can't, I guess if you kind of held it back. But what I've been using it for, again, it's just a great fan and it's little enough to go in your purse. Like it's great. But I have it on my makeup place where I do my makeup because when I spray my setting spray, I use it to dry my face.
Oh my gosh.
Well, you know, your face is kind of damp and I need it to dry down. So I have my little fan. And it dries. I knew you'd love that one.
Great one.
But it's a good fan. But that is where since I'm not having the flat, like I don't need it with me all the time. I don't need it in my purse or whatever. What are you looking at? Is there a ghost?
My tree.
Oh gosh, you scared me. You're like in the darkness. That's so cute. Look at your little Christmas tree. Oh, that's fun. Anyway, since I don't have my little hot flashes all the time, I don't really need it with me. So I use it when I get ready in the morning. The second thing, my second top three is a show. And then there's a podcast that this show is based on. But the show has just come out on Hulu. And I think probably almost all the episodes, there's still episodes coming out, but there's a good few out. And it's called Murdaugh, Death in the Family. And it's on Hulu. And this is based on a podcast series that I started listening to back in 2020. it's called the Murdaugh Murders podcast. And it's now, you can just go look it up. I think I'll put a link on here. The name of that podcast has been changed to True Sunlight or something because the Murdaugh was like that particular story of this family. Anyway, but you can still go and listen to it. So this show is based on these kind of the covering of this case by these journalists in South Carolina. And this takes place in South Carolina. And many people are probably very familiar with it. It's a very famous case. it's the Murdaugh family, Alec Murdaugh and his wife, Maggie, and their two sons, Buster and what's the other one's name? Paul. Anyway, wealthy family, South Carolina, long like legacy of like his father, his grandfather, his great grandfather, his great great grandfather were all the solicitor generals of this area, which is like the prosecuting attorney. Okay. So, and he was part of that going to be, his dad was still alive. Anyway, long family ties, you know, down in the low country there in South Carolina. Anyway, this family is a hot mess. And it's not spoiling. It is, but you should know but it makes it better. You need to know going into watching the show because it makes it better if you understand where the perspective. Alec Murdaugh is currently serving in prison for murdering his wife and his son, Paul. So this is the story of all this carrying on. And y'all, there are more twists and turns. There's more to it than just the murder of his own wife and son, which he did. I mean, he's in jail for it, and he did it at their property, at their big property, hunting property, down by the dog kennels. He just shot his family and lied about it and said he didn't. There was another case before that, a boat crash that his son Paul had been involved with where a girl was killed and Paul was driving drunk on the boat. Anyway, it's just, it's like you can't make this stuff up, but it's like they've made it up. Yeah. The amount of corruption. And he was in trials before this for financial, because he defrauded clients. He's a lawyer at a law firm and he defrauded his client. It's like a hot mess. So knowing that going in, and then you're watching it and you're going, he's going to kill her. Like, this is going to end with him and her being dead on the ground and him calling the police. It's a lot. That's Death in the Family on Hulu. And then the last one, I'm just going to go easy, but it really is. It's Mississippi State winning that game. I'm not even going to lie. That's just what it is.
Oh, it was so good.
I was trying to think of something else, but I'm like, that is what was top three.
Look, I'm not going to lie. I got a little misty eyed. And I thought,
she said she whimpered a little.
It's a ball game. Yeah, I whimpered a little. Ron was looking at me and I just looked at him. I said, it's been a long 2 years. Okay.
It's been a minute. Okay. We had a coach die. Like, it's just been a lot. Yeah. It's been a lot. So we'll see what happens this week, but that's it for me. That's all I've got. It's now practically dark. It's the time of year where, unless I open my eyes and see my husband in the morning before he leaves, I don't see him in daylight till Saturdays, till the weekend. So there you go. But on that note, we will see you guys next week. We hope you have a great week and a great weekend. But until then, goodbye, Pellet.
See you, Patch.
Yep, chatted with her. I got some blood work done just to check some stuff. I'm like, let's look. Let's see what's going on. So, yeah. You know, got to keep the temple. Take care of the temple.
Yeah, I've been asked to do a breakout session at a marriage conference.
You have? Oh, you and Ron together. Wear your outfits. Wear your Sonny and Cher outfits, please. It'll be this is how you do marriage, guys.